Hi guys.
Welcome back to the Unraveling the World podcast. So on this week's podcast, we are joined by Simon Majumdar, and we will be talking about his interest in the food industry and what kind of led him to pursue so many things within that. So Simon, we would love if you could introduce yourself and kind of give our listeners a little background info.
Yes, absolutely. So my name is, as you said, Simon Majumdar. I work under a lot of aspects in the food business now. I write. I'm not at the moment writing for any kind of article type things because I've got too much work to do at the moment, and those I'm not doing too much of that. But I'm writing a new book. I've written three books before, and those have been, but I haven't written one for a little while, so I'm interested in doing that. I obviously work for the Food Network, which is great, and I've been doing that for almost 14 years now, wow. I believe. Yeah, I know, it's and then I've been, and I also do a lot of demo things, so I go to people's, either their college, or I go and do it in front of a community or whatever, and I do a demo of whatever I'm looking at the moment, whether it's dishes from a certain area I've been to or dishes from anything I've done. So I do a lot of those as well. So I'm doing a lot of different things, and that's the thing I always suggest that people look at whenever they do any career that they're doing. And before this, I was training, believe it or not, to be an Anglican or an Episcopalian minister. That's how I started. And then after that, I was in publishing for a long time, nearly 22 years. I worked for Penguin Books, Orion Books in London, and then for a small publisher called MQP. So I've had a lot of careers, and what that always shows me, and I'm 60 nearly, I've still got a few months yet, but anyway, what it shows me is throughout my life, I get lots of lives, and I think that's the thing that we all need to look at very carefully. It's not just, we don't go in, it's not like our parents or whatever, where we go into one career and that's it for the rest of our lives. I think now we have to look at lots and lots of different careers we're doing. And for me, at this stage, food is, and food has always been one of my passions. But right now, food is just everything to me.
Yeah. So what inspired you to pursue a career in the food industry? So what initially started it all?
Well, for me, it goes way, way back, and I'm sure this is true of most people in the food industry. So, you know, when I was 4 or 5, you know, I would either sit as be with my father when he was cooking. Yeah, he was cooking dishes from Calcutta, and my mother, who was actually Welsh, would actually do these dishes as well. He always said that she was actually Bengali in her past life, because she was an extraordinary Bengali cook, but even though she was Welsh. But they all used to, and whereas the rest of the family all love food, we all are obsessed, I mean, are obsessed with food. And my younger brother, I say younger, he's now, he's 57, but call him younger brother.
Yeah.
He is a chef. And if I go to my older brother, he's retired now, but he's got more knowledge about food than I will ever have. And my sister, she's a vegetarian. She has got more than any one of us has. So there's so much about food that just comes to us. But I was one of the few who would always go into the kitchen and want to try and find out what was happening.
Yeah.
And so that was an early part. But then, you know, when I was at university doing theology, I would always get people round to have what I was cooking at 21. And then when I went to publish books, I was often, I mean, not always, but I was often publishing cookbooks. And so again, that always brought me, you know, and then because of publishing, I got to know people like Anthony Bourdain and people like that. So I've always had food around, but it was about, 15 to 20 years ago that I really started to do this. I started writing for The Guardian, for The Times in London, other things. And then for that, I started getting into, the Food Network and everything like that. So it's not, again, it's not just one thing that inspired me. It's the range of my life. And I think, again, that's very important. Everyone goes, oh, well, this inspired you. But it's not just one thing. It's not. It's always, you put everything together and you look at yourself as, a person, and you go, this is where, it all came from. It's all about your lives, not about a position in life.
Yeah. So I actually am also from Bengali. I come from Kolkata. I quickly wanted to ask you, do you have a favorite like Bengali dish?
Oh gosh. Matcha jol.
Oh my God, I love matcha jol. My mom actually made, I think she makes the best matcha jol. But yeah, so like around that topic, do you have a favorite dish or like a meal that has left a lasting impression of you? Like not just in Kolkata culture, but in general?
For me, it's about, it's not about the dish itself, it's about the circumstances in which I've tried the dish. So my wife is from the Philippines. So when I go with her to the Philippines and we go to where her mother is in Zambales and we kind of have that food, that is always one of the greatest things I ever have, because they just make really good food in the Philippines. But it's sharing that. And, so I've had meals going from, Casablanca to Mecca to I forgot where it's going now, but on a train, and we had lots of people came in onto the train, and we had one of those little cubicle things that sits 8 people, and they came in with more like 14 of them. I was stuck in the corner, and they were all speaking Arabic to each other and having fun. And then one of them looks at me and said, oh, wow, do you speak any Arabic? And I said, no, sorry. And he goes, oh, hold on a minute. And he spoke to everyone there and he said, oh, we're in Morocco, we should speak French. And maybe this guy understands French, which I do reasonably. And so they started asking me if I got any food. Well, what I had with me was a half a pack of Pringles and a bottle of Diet Coke or something. But it was an 8-hour journey. Then they said, oh, we'll share our food. And they got down their suitcases and some tablecloths that they had. And then they started bringing out all this food that they'd brought. And that, to me, where they brought out a piece of fish or some cheese or whatever it was. I mean, this is a long time ago now. But they brought out this amazing food. And I said, this, to me, is the most, is that inspire me. It's not about going to a fine dining place and have someone, and I've had plenty of meals of amazing fine dining places. We went to one last week in that's one of the top places in the country. But for me, it's about the dish that I get to try in other circumstances where I get to meet people and while sharing this food.
Yeah. So you talked a lot about like traveling from different places like Mecca. So how do you select your destinations? Like, how do you know where you want to travel next?
Well, now with my wonderful wife, we have we always say that Food Network is wonderful and everything else is wonderful. but we're going to go to all the countries that we want to go to. So the inspiration, I think, comes from me and my wife going, let's go. So this year, we're going to the Stans, you know, we're going to Uzbekistan, all of those countries. And it's because we've really desperately been wanting to do it. Now, the reason is that I do a lot, as you know, I do a food history podcast. And it's about, you know, it's about food history. So I've been writing yesterday about milk, all the way from, you know, the ancient times all the way to the modern world. And so we start thinking about that. So I've been writing about the Stans, because that's where most of the world, in Turkey and then all around those areas, that's where most of the world really started, for the West anyway. And so we want to go and see those places. So that's the biggest inspiration, is the food. And what we always say is the food there will tell us more about the world, or about that part of the world, than anything else, because we're so obsessed with it. And my wife is the same. So that's what we like to do. We love to go to those countries. And last year we went to Bulgaria and Romania, and you know, people don't often think about going to those countries, but they were so special, and that's what we love about them. So I think it's not about, oh, there's an inspiration, or I'm watching a TV show, or I'm doing something like that. It's me and my wife really sitting here and just, oh, let's go there. And that's what we do.
So, obviously, like, you had so much experience in this industry. Is there someone in specific that comes to mind who has helped you get to where you are in your accomplishments?
I'm afraid this is going to sound a bit like I'm just repeating myself, because in every period of my life, and almost every period, I've met people who have just been like my mentors. So everyone says, you know, well, you've met, you know, Anthony Bourdain, who was amazing, or you've met this. But, you know, my grandmother, Welsh grandmother, used to teach me amazing baking. You know, my Indian, not my grandmother, because she wasn't as, you know, close to us, but my Indian, about her age, used to teach us the Bengali food. But then I went on to my people that I knew when I was training to be an Anglican minister, and he to teach me the things. And so what it does is, each one of those, and say there's 20 of them in my, probably less, but 10 of them, say, each one of them has been special to do one thing. So you can't really look at one of them, but all of them together have been what have been the most, I mean, I couldn't have done it without them. Let's put it that way. I just couldn't.
Yeah. So like I used to be obsessed with Cutthroat Kitchen, and that's actually how I like came to know about you. Like, you were one of the judges on Cutthroat Kitchen. So I wanted to ask you, like, how did it feel being judges? Like, how did you get into judging, and how did that change your career?
Well, when I got into judging, it's because my first kind of actual writing about food was in a blog. And this was before blogging was, you know, there weren't many of us. So, yeah, we're talking 15 plus years ago. And before that, I was using, there was a website called eGullet, which I'm sure you wouldn't know, but this was amazing. That was the equivalent of us writing about things now. And there were so many people on that, some really famous people as well, who would come in and say, you should do something like being a critic, because your ability of extracting the, you know, about food is really good. So that was my start on eGullet, and then blogging. And that's what we did. We went around London. Myself and my older brother, our blog was called Dos Hermanos, and we used to go around London and we would write really good, even though I say so myself, really good things, because we were in our 40s. We're not like, at the time, we weren't, you know, like 19 and going to a burger place. We were going to the really good places because we had the money. And we used to get mentioned whenever they mentioned, whenever the Guardian critic got mentioned, we were put in that area. And so we've always been, I've always been a critic, and so has my brother. But we had that. And then, so when I came to America, and when I met my wife about 15 years ago now, I came and that's how I started. I came over, in fact, to a press trip for one of my three books. It was Eat My Globe, the first one I ever wrote. And I had the publisher say to me, oh, we want you to come over and do a press trip. And I came over, and the first thing I ever did was for the BBC World Service. Which I actually did in America on sandwiches. I can't even remember what I was doing. I think I was saying the best sandwich in the world, which was a thing from Turkey, which is this mackerel sandwich, which is phenomenal. Anyway, someone was listening to me at the Food Network, and they got in touch with me and then a manager, and said we'd like Simon to come in. And that was the next thing I did, because I was invited to be one of the judges on the next Iron Chef, which was a very, very popular program here in the US, very popular. And I was one of the three judges, and we went through for 12 weeks or whatever it was to judge these shows. And I think from that I had, I was English, so I had English accent, which I guess was something that they were looking for, as well as my knowledge. And that's how we started on the and how I started on the Food Network. And from that, if you watch Guy's Grocery Games, or you watch one they're showing, it's every year they do something called Tournament of Champions, where I come on and I'm discussing the food to the judges. So I'm telling the judges, because the chefs don't have the time, or that don't go, don't have the opportunity to do it. So I discuss, and so I've always been a judge since that point, and so I've been doing it for 20 years now, 20 more plus years now.
So, in these years of judging and so many other experiences, can you just talk about some of the challenges that you faced and came across?
Oh, gosh. Well, challenges, again, I'm going to sound like I'm just saying, but sometimes it's just, if I'm doing a Food Network show, you've got to, it's not scripted, and that's the one thing the Food Network would never do. So if it's Cutthroat Kitchen, sometimes I'd go taste the food, and then I'd have to go straight to judging, literally straight in. And I'd have to come up with the words to try and describe it. So I'd go, well, this is good, blah, 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 and I'd come up with all the words. So that's really tough, because that's literally about, a minute for me to come up with a 2-minute speech or a 2-minute description of this dish. So that's really hard. The other thing is, obviously, with my writing now and with writing all these books, that's a challenge, because, writing a book like that, that's, 80,000 words or something, is very hard to do. And then you've got to send it into an editor, and you sit at home worried that the editor, he or she, is going to just, hate it, and then send it to you, and you're just going, okay. I mean, we haven't had that, thank gosh, but it's always the same. So these are the kind of struggles we have when we're writing or we're doing these events. Or, and then in terms of my demoing, I've got to, the demoing is as much entertainment as it is, and you've got to you're on stage for an hour and a half and you're trying to make people laugh as well as, you know, understand the food. And that's built as well. So there's lots of different challenges.
Yeah. So you've obviously accomplished a lot during your career. Do you have any more milestones or things that you're hoping to accomplish still?
Oh, gosh, yeah. So my life is, you know, hardly started. And I know that sounds weird. I'm not going to ask what age you are, but you're obviously a lot younger than me. And I'm not even close to being finished yet. And it's not about that. Maybe I've got another area to go in my food world. I don't know where that'll be. It'll be maybe. And my wife and I love Spain, so we may just go, you know, to heck with this, and often we go to Spain. And we, our thing there is having a what do you call it, a Airbnb or something. Who knows what's going to happen? So there are lots of challenges going on there, and the fact that I'm, as I keep mentioning, close to 60 is nothing. It's absolutely nothing in my way. And you know, the Food Network, I know they need the younger people who are good at that, but they also need the experience of people like me to come on and go, well, this food is this because it's got this, 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 and this. And my point of view in that, and nobody else does this on the Food Network, I don't think, I'm the person who has been to 100 countries around the world and has been to all these places and has seen them. So it's not, what we have sometimes is people go, oh, I love this food because I've tried it in the local, you know, the people who do Bengali food or Bangladeshi type Bengali food or whatever they do, they will know that from the local place, but they wouldn't know it necessarily from Calcutta or going to Bangladesh or whatever they're doing. So that's what I've got as well, the experience that I've got.
Yeah. So can you give some advice to someone who may be like looking to follow your footsteps and enter like the career that you are in?
Well, I think the first thing, and we're getting a lot of it now, and I think that's what Food Network, it's not their fault for causing it, but they're always getting, yeah, you know, they're always, as they're going through their shows, they're always getting new chefs in, new this, and that's wonderful. But what's happening is a lot of those chefs, that's their idea of doing it, and what they're not doing is all the stuff but behind that. You know, if you look at Alex Guarnicelli, or you look at Scott Cook, or you look at Bobby Flay or Guy Fieri, they've all done the hard work behind that. And sometimes I think the younger people haven't necessarily done that, and some have, of course, but not them.
Yeah.
So what I say to people is, you know, if you're writing, and I'm going to do a talk about this, in fact, at a university I'm going to soon. I'm trying to teach people that being in a culinary school shouldn't just teach you how to be a chef. It should teach you, you know, how you could do demonstrations, how you could go to be an expert with X in a going to work for a food company. Going, so there's lots and lots and lots of different areas of food, more than there's ever been. And that's the thing I want, because you could go in and learn all the expert side of it, the, you know, how to carve a carrot and all that sort of stuff. But what you've got to do is learn all of the stuff that's around it. So, you know, like I said, I do demos, I do writing, I do on the Food Network, I do all these different areas. And I think that's what nowadays people need to learn. They need to understand that the culinary world, and that's a big world, is covering a whole range of things, a whole range, from the writing to all of it. And that's the key that they've got to learn. It's not just about, oh, I'm doing this or I'm going to go and work in a restaurant, because that's one side of it, but they're not doing all the other.
Yeah. So for the last question for our episode, do you have anything that you want to tell our listeners that you haven't already mentioned yet?
For me, it is what I just said. You know, try, if you want to do this, and it doesn't matter if you're not in culinary, you just hear what's happening. You know, what you want to do is go and find out what the whole aspect of whatever area you're in. So if you're into politics, go and understand the politics, go and understand the, you know, being a representative, well, for some, being anything that you do in politics, and that depends on what you want to do. And the key for me is go and do, go and try as many things in that business as much as you can. And that, I think, is very is the key, I think, to everyone right now, because there's so many different views. And as I said to you earlier, these are still, we've got much more of, experiences than we've ever had before in our life. And that's the key for me. Like I said, I've got lots of things I want to do right now. And I'm 60, but people who are starting out, I wish I had their experience, their opportunities right now.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Simon, for taking the time to be on our platform today. You gave us like a lot of insight. You talked about your journey as a food critic, as an author, and as a podcast host, like both the ups and downs, and you gave us a lot of advice, both to us and our listeners. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
It has absolutely been my pleasure. It's been really, really fun. Thank you very much. And you're from Calcutta, or one of you is from Calcutta. So I love that. Because my father's not with me anymore, and but I'm going to go out to Calcutta very soon, because we've missed it.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that. Thank you so much for your time once again. Bye.
Take care.
All right, perfect.